talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Studio City, California. Now, our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Now, our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested in. So you have to tune in every week because you never know who you are going to miss. If you want to check out our past guests and read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the previous shows, you can do that by going to the LA Talk Radio website, which if you're listening live, you're already there. Yay! So the website address, though, is latalkradio.com. You click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. You scroll down and you look for the graphic of our show. And that's Question Reality. And you just click on the link. This link takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of past guests. Now, our shows are also very exciting for me, available on download at iTunes under the podcast section. So you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and there we are. Our tons and tons and tons of fantastic shows, and you want to check them out because great advice from every show. If you want to find out about our future guests, you want to visit the official Question Reality website, and that address is questionrealityshow.com. Questionrealityshow.com. And we are booked till the end of the year. Actually, now we're filling up January. Oh, it's so exciting. I'm so happy. This show really has taken off. People love it. And thank you so much. I get so many great emails. And it makes me so happy. We've been doing the show since 2008. And I've grown a huge fan database. And I just love the emails I get from everyone. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Especially, I just got one recently from Betty Jo Tucker. So a little shout out to Betty Jo Tucker. Thank you, Betty Jo Tucker. We really appreciate it. She's a film critic and she loves the show. So that's always good. Now, once I do a film, I just have to have her review it and give me a great review. So a little bribe there. Okay, so I want to talk about some great things happening around town. August 10th, which is in a couple days, Screenplay Lab is having a mixer. Now, every month they have these things, so you should go. A whole bunch of people go to these things. It is an excellent opportunity for networking and schmoozing and doing the things that you need to do to make it happen if you're in the entertainment business. Every month they have hundreds of writers, producers, actors, and other industry professionals, and they get together in Beverly Hills for an informal mixer. And it's a really friendly atmosphere, and it's comfortable with everybody in the room, and they're talking and schmoozing, and that's what you need to do. And they have drinks and food, and it's very inexpensive, and they have large portions. They always – Screenplay Lab mixers always go to places that have large portions and are inexpensive, and they're in Beverly Hills. And they have a full menu if you want something more fancy. So on August the 10th, they're having their mixer on the back patio of a restaurant called Via, V-I-A, Alloro, A-L-L-O-R-O, Via Alloro, and that's 301 North Cannon Drive in Beverly Hills. And that's 7 p.m. to 11 p.m., and it's free. There's no cover charge, so there's no reason for you to not go and mix and mingle with your fellow writers, producers, directors, actors, others. And remember, today's people that you're mixing with at these little mixers, these are the people who are going to be the next Steven Spielbergs, at least one of them. One of them's going to make it out. So if you want to find out more, now there's you have to RSVP, though, to get on the guest list, unfortunately. So you can do that by going to screenplaylab.com, screenplaylab.com. And there is a link on there that you can do the RSVP mixer, okay? Now, second thing, very exciting. One of our previous guests, Jeannie Diva, who is one of the most respected and in-demand vocal coaches. She's also a top clinician. Recording studio, vocal coach, trainer of voice teachers. She's also the founder of the Jeannie Diva Voice Studios, which is an international network. She is also the publisher of the Contemporary Vocalist book and CDs, and she has a ton of things out. I couldn't even list all the stuff, but what's exciting is if you're a singer or you want to be one, you want to check out her latest book and also her upcoming book entitled Singer's Guide to Powerful Performances, Singer's Guide to Powerful Performances. And you can find out everything you want to know on her YouTube channel. It's Jeannie Diva YouTube, and it's J-E-A-N-N-I-E-D-E-V-A. That is her last name. It is not D-I-V-A and something she tacked on. Diva is her last name. And you can find that out on YouTube. And this channel has listening exercises that you can also use if you're a singer, even aside from using it with her book. And the ebook is scheduled to come out in the late fall. And for announcements, you want to subscribe to her YouTube channel. And you can also download her free app. Very exciting if you're a singer, because she is very, very good with these vocal exercises. I was actually able to screech out a tune and have it sound halfway decent after a lesson with her. So you can find this on YouTube's on iTunes, the Diva Method Vocal Warm-Ups and Cool-Down CD, 5 podcast interviews with Jeannie Diva, including one with me, which is on iTunes. And again, you can get the free app on Jeannie Diva Singer World. She's also on Facebook and Twitter under the name of Jeannie Diva. And you can check out her website, jeanniediva.com, J-E-A-N-N-I-E-D-E-V-A.com. So go there now and improve those little vocal cords. Sing it and bring it. Oh, God, I just rhymed. I love that. Sing it and bring it. I'm trademarking that. Nobody steal that. I'm trademarking it right now, writing it, taking a note. Okay, now on to our guest today. Very exciting, because she is one of my favorite friends in the whole world. She is celebrity photographer, videographer, and pet zoo owner. Throw that one in. You know, out here in California, we have to multitask. We have to wear many, many different hats. So she does many different things. Her name is Carrie Cavalier. Love that name. That is a star name if I've ever heard of it. I got to actually find out if that's her real name, because that just sounds so much like a star name. It sounds like a name that you would give yourself as a star name, but your name is Zulu Manta QQ. Okay, Carrie Cavalier has specialized in photographing people professionally for over 27 years, and she has this chameleon-like ability to create works of art. Now, she also has done photographs which were in National Geographic. And she, of course, has done headshots, which is her specialty. And she's done them for many, 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 many celebrities. If you go into her studio, she's got them posted on the ceiling and the wall. And it looks very, very, very cool. And some of the celebrities were David Hasselhoff and my favorite, Ellen DeGeneres. And also, she does her clients, basically, when you get a headshot from her, you are almost guaranteed that you are going to make it, because if you have the talent, because her pictures are so good. And some of her clients have appeared not only in major motion pictures, but also in commercials for clients like Gatorade, Budweiser, Miller, Mattel, Federal Express, Citibank, AT&T, Toyota, Honey Nut Cheerios. Joe's, one of my favorites. McDonald's, again, one of my favorites, unfortunately. And Toys R Us. Now, she has an artistic goal, and she says that her goal is to I guess she said she wants to create a portrait. Each picture is like a portrait, and she wants it to dance off the page. You know, whether it's a formal portrait of a child or an intimate portrait of a wedding. She does weddings. She does everything. If it can be shot and seen with a camera, she can shoot you. So that's vampires are out. But anybody who can be seen with a camera, she can do it. And we're going to find out about her because she is incredible, and I had to bring her on, and she can do anything. She's been doing my headshots for years. I have referred many of my friends and clients to her. They have raved about her work, and I think that if you get to know her and you need a good headshot and you want a beautiful portrait that you will treasure, and it will become unique, and I think that you'll love it. So I think that you should check her out, Carrie Cavalier. Her website is cavalierphotography.com, CAVALIERPHOTOGRAPHY. So whether she's photographing infants, children, families, weddings, bar mitzvahs, she can bring her artistic sensitivity and make you shine. So, Carrie, are you there with me? Are you ready to live up to everything that I've written about you?
Absolutely. I'm so flattered that you had me on the show today. It's exciting. You're a wonderful friend. You're adorable. I'd love to hug you and kiss you. You're so cute.
I am like
Thank
a
so
big
much.
Ball bear, aren't I?
We love you.
I used to be cute like a little baby, and over the years, I've morphed into various types of animals. It was a koala bear, polar bear. Now we're approaching more mammal-like animals, which I'm not going to mention, but thank you very much for still giving me the cute status. I do appreciate that. Now, I start every guest off with a wonderful question because everybody likes to know, what did you want to be when you were a child? Everybody wanted to be something. Some people actually end up becoming what they wanted to be. Some people end up becoming something totally different. So what did little Carrie Cavalier
want to be? I actually wanted to be either a zookeeper or a veterinarian when I was a child. That's what I wanted to do. I didn't think about being a photographer. That came later on in life, but that just kind of fell into my lap. But yes, I always wanted to be a veterinarian or a zookeeper.
Well, see, now we're going to talk about that later because you kind of achieved your dream ending up
a little bit,
being
yeah.
a petting zoo owner. So my God, you've kind of achieved your dream. But when did you know that you wanted to become a photographer? At what point in your life? How did that click in your mind that you said, you know what, I want to be a photographer?
Well, it actually started out when I was an actress and still somewhat of an actress. And I had spent a lot of money on photos that just didn't work. And I said, you know what? I can do this. So I actually shot my own headshots and I stopped having somebody else do it for me. I did my own. I just handed somebody a camera and said, here, do this. And it worked. And I became so obsessed with photography and so interested in it, and I became so excited about it, so passionate about it, that I just kind of evolved out of the acting career and into a full-time photographer.
Now, what was it about the headshots that were being taken of you? Because I assume that you didn't just go to any Joe Schmo. You probably went to people that were, I assume, referred to you or you saw that had some credentials, yet you were not happy with the headshots. What was it that they were doing that were not of your standard?
Well, my first experience with headshots was, you know, I was in my 20s and I was young and I saved up every dollar that I had to get pictures. And I don't remember if it was referred by my agent or it was someone out of like the Variety or some, the reporter. And I went to have the pictures done, and the photographer, instead of rescheduling the photo shoot, which I realized later on should have been done, they were shot outside in the rain with an umbrella over my head. My hair was silver. My face was gray. They're horrible photos, and I had spent every penny that I had on them. I took them to my agent. She said, we can't use these pictures. You have to have new ones. I went back to the photographer and said, could you reshoot me? She said, no. And I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So, you know, it's one of those things where you spend the money on something and you don't know because you're young and you're innocent and you're in this business and it's new to you, and you just kind of just you see the name photographer and you think you just assume that you're going to get good pictures.
That is so true. And for people who, when you are starting out, a lot of people want to jump the gun and just go get pictures and get started and get it done and send them out. And then some people take time to do research and to study a little bit about it and to know what you're supposed to do before or what's required of a photographer. What advice would you give people, actors, models, musicians, whoever wants to get a photograph? What would you say that they should know before they choose a photographer? Like, where do they go if they're not in LA or in New York or in one of the major cities, but yet they want to get some pictures and then go to a major city? What do you recommend?
Well, I would always do your research and look at websites and look at the quality. I think anybody is intelligent enough to take the time to look to see if it's a good picture, if it's clear, if the lighting's good. You always want to be the best that you can be, and you want to be realistic about who you are. You want to have a photo that represents who you are. And the great thing about the industry now is that it's so diverse now that things are simplifying. You know, people can be of any background. They can be tall, short, have facial hair. There's such a diverse interest in types of characters now that it didn't used to be. There was like that perfect person that you have to look at who you are in the mirror and say, this is who I am, and try to get photos that are going to represent you realistically. I think that's important. And do your homework. You know, look for a photographer that knows what they're doing and has experience. And I think a lot of people get so anxious that they'll just go out and get headshots. And what they're doing is if they don't take the time to get good photos, and I'm not saying spend a lot of money to get good photos. I'm saying that if they don't have good photos, what's going to happen is they're going to be submitting those photos to agents or to casting directors, and they're not going to get the response that they're looking for, and they're going to get frustrated. So they really have to realize that 90% of their career is their photos, because that gets you in the door, that gets you the interview, and it gets you the opportunity to show what your craft is.
Now, that is true. Now, a lot of people may not understand that what goes on in the industry, as it does pretty much in any business, but there's a thing called payroll. And a lot of times, actors are taken on by these agents who are not – they're scandalous. They're scammers. They're not really agents, but these are people who don't know. So they're already in a situation where they don't know. And then the agent says, oh, they bring their picture and they say, oh, no, I don't like those headshots. I don't like this, that. You need to get, and then they'll go into a description of what they want. Mm-hmm. And then the actor may be from another town and bringing those headshots. They don't know any photographer. So they say, oh, can you recommend someone, or do you know? And then that is an opportunity for the scandalous scammer agent or manager to say, oh, yeah, this is where you need to go. Or you may not even ask. They may tell you, no, I want you to go to this photographer because I use this photographer, and this photographer always gives me the actors with the shots that I need, and I get my clients booked. How can an actor avoid that situation from being pressured into getting headshots from photographers because they're getting a kickback and they're getting a portion of the payment?
Well, I think the biggest problem is that actors or artists give their agent too much power. And then when they come into town or they decide to become an actor, they're so excited about having an agent that, oh, I have an agent. They don't think about, okay, well, you know, they give their agent too much power. So when their agent refers someone to them, they have to make sure that it's in a reasonable price that they can afford. And if they can't afford it, then they can say to their agent, listen, I can't afford this. I want to find somebody on my own. And if they're a good agent, they're going to understand that. So they have to really, you know, not be intimidated by their agent telling them that they have to go to this photographer. They really have to go with their gut like they do anything else and really do the research.
Well, I don't know.
It happens a lot.
Carrie, some actors go with their gut, and that's why they got into trouble in the first place. I've heard it all. Now, what do you feel is the secret to a great headshot? If I were an actor and we talked a little bit about branding, which is what you were talking about earlier, knowing mm-hmm. who you are, knowing what type of shot. But if you don't know that, what are some of the things that you can do? Say I'm an actor and I just got off the bus from the Greyhound station and I've been lucky enough to make it to you without being solicited to be a hooker, and I still have my money, and I say, oh, I need some headshots, but I don't know anything about it. What are you going to tell me? Because obviously I don't know and I didn't come prepared. What are you going to say to me?
Well, I would tell them that you need a headshot that's going to look like you. Do your research, watch television, watch the programming, look at other actors that are similar to your type. Have your photos of actually, you know, the type of photos that they're looking for right now are basically color headshots. And you want the photo to be clear and crisp and clean and look like you. Whenever I work with my clients, I give them a guideline as to what kind of colors. I give them examples of other photographs that I've taken of people in their category. You need to do their research. They can go to, you know, actors' bookstores and get different types of look online and get ideas from the industry to find out, make comparison as to, you know, what is the norm in the industry.
There was a pause there. Can you explain the difference? A lot of actors ask me, what's the difference between a commercial and theatrical headshot? Okay. People don't know the difference. Explain that.
A commercial headshot is basically a smiling headshot. It's usually a smiling headshot. It's used for a commercial product, for commercial ads. Theatrical is usually considered a serious headshot, would be used for more dramatic television or film. So that's how you kind of identify the one or the other. It's, you think of commercial as being a smiling headshot and as theatrical as being more of a serious. The only difference is with kids is we always think of kids being happy. So, you know, teenagers or younger kids under 12 years old would usually submit a smiling headshot for commercial as well as theatrical.
Yeah, that's a little tricky because with a commercial headshot, if you're a happy person and that's your nature and you smile because if you want to represent yourself and you want to brand yourself as being who you are and you're a naturally happy person and smiling, but you don't necessarily want to do commercial stuff, what do you do? Do you force yourself to not smile and then that's not really who you are?
Well, no, then if you're not really going to be a commercial type, then you would just pursue the film or the dramatic television end of the industry. If commercials isn't what you're looking for, then don't go out and get a smiling headshot if it's really not who you are.
But what if you want to pursue theatrical, but it's just your nature to smile? Do you just not smile?
Then you can use it. Really, the way the industry is now is that anybody can be who they are, and that's what's so great about the industry. You know, guys can have bald, shaved heads. They can have goatees. Women can have their hair bright purple, tattoos. Everything is acceptable now. And as long as the photograph looks like you. But, I mean, the old school identification of commercial and theatrical was always commercial was smiling and serious was, you know, theatrical was a serious expression. But you can pretty much cross over these days with anything. You know,
Yeah, a lot of people say that they identify, because I go to all of these actor workshops. I'm very, very fascinated with different agents, and they come in and there are so many thought processes. So a lot of people, what I try to tell actors is it really is sometimes the luck of the draw with the agent, because I go into some acting workshops and they say, Well, I only like to see headshots that are on film. And then other ones say, I don't care if it's film or digital. And some agents say, you know what? I hate black and white headshots. If I see somebody who submits one, it goes right in the trash. Then other agents say, I don't care if it's black or white or color. Then some agents say, you know what? If I see a commercial shot and it's just the neck up and a big head, I'm throwing it in the trash. Other agents say, you know what? I prefer commercial shots to be three-quarter lengths or full bodies because I want to see the whole package. How do you know there's so much conflicting information? What do you recommend that a poor actor do when they can't get like a whole bunch of different headshots? What do you do?
Well, I mean, there is the average and the norm, and the norm and what is actually most acceptable by, I would say, 70% or 80% of the prominent agents is a good color headshot from, you know, the bust up. If you're a person that's, you know, has a special ability, if you're going to be a model or if you have a special character, then they may request you to do or if you know for yourself that you have a special identity about your character or how you're, you know, what your physical appearance is, then you would do a three-quarter shot. But, you know, it's always apples and oranges. You can't please everybody all the time. But
right.
If you have a really good agent, most of the top good agents are going to ask you to have a really good color headshot, and it's going to be from the bust up. Because if most of you will be registering online with the casting companies, and so because the photos are small, they want to be able to see actually what you look like. So the reason why they want the color is because they can see your true hair color, your true eye color, and they can really get an idea of what you look like. But I mean, if they're a really good agent and you come in and you're a great talent and you've got a great black and white headshot, they're not going to pass you by, but there is like a standard. And
I'm so glad that you said that, because you know me, Carrie, and my black and white.
I know, you only like your black and white. I know that.
You black and white, and I tell you, it hasn't hurt me. Well, that's probably because I was a specialized actor, so they cast me more for body type than they did for facial things. But I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to talk about people who – let's talk about why it is important to keep your headshots current and not use your old tacky headshots from the 70s and 80s. And as a person who casts, believe it or not, I used to see a ton of people walk into the audition and they were wearing the Olivia Newton-John workout from Xanadu. And I was like, No, you didn't. You look good, but no, you did not. Let's talk about that.
Well, I mean, I think it's part of our society, more so being in Los Angeles and being in Southern California, that everybody is more concerned about, you know, aging and what they look like. So, you know, they may submit an older photograph saying, you know, that this is not what you look like anymore, and they don't want to let go of that. But, you know, the agents are really strict, and casting directors really want you to look like who you are now in your pictures. And it is acceptable to have, you know, lines and wrinkles and grow old gracefully. And you have to be who you are.
Characters, people, it's okay to be a character actress.
Absolutely, and you should be proud of it. You know, there's a place for everybody, and we're all different, we're all special, and that's what I always tell my actors when I photograph it. Don't try to be somebody that you're not, because there's somebody out there that's looking just for you. So be who you are and be proud of who you are and look like yourself in your pictures. That's the most important thing, is be who you are.
It's very hard for, I find that it's harder for people who were really good looking when they were young. They have a really hard time adjusting when they hit the middle age. And what happens, they will sell one of their children to pay for Adobe Photoshop work. And you know it's true. And let's talk about that, because people seem to think that if they get one or two things erased or blended in, that it's not really going to matter. But when you come before the agent, they have eyes and they can see that you don't look like that. So let's talk about the Adobe Photoshop phenomenon.
None of my photos are retouched. And if anybody goes on and looks at my website and looks at the photos, none of them are retouched. Now, if somebody has, if they had, you know, skin problems at the time, or they cut their chin and they have a scar that's healing, that's one thing that's not going to be there in 2 or 3 weeks. But I don't believe in retouching. I don't believe in the blown out perfect. I want to see people. And I think realistically, I think that, you know, some of the top crime shows and some of the character actors that you see out there now that we all know, you see that they have flaws and they have imperfections, and that is what has made them successful, because they're different. So, you know, people have their insecurities, and what the problem is those insecurities entrap them from moving on with their career. They have to forget about it, and they have to be confident and comfortable with who they are and make sure that they have pictures that look like who they are. Because
Absolutely.
That's what the casting directors want to see and the agents want to see when they walk in the door.
Right. As a tip, you should always try to look as natural as possible. If you don't
Absolutely.
Walk around looking like the girls on Jerseylicious naturally, then don't get your headshot like the girls from Jerseylicious or Jersey Shore or whatever someone does in Jersey. So a lot of people think that when they go to get their headshots, they have to hire a professional makeup person to do their makeup for the day. Well, that's great, and your picture's going to look fantastic, but wait until you go in the audition and you can't replicate what that
right.
professional
Absolutely.
Makeup person has
Absolutely.
Done. Then you're in big trouble.
Right. Normally,
so don't spend your money. Don't waste your money. Go natural. Go ahead, Karen.
I agree. You know, if I have somebody, I say, ask them if they feel comfortable doing their own makeup, and they say, yeah, I feel comfortable doing my own makeup. Then I said, and if you're confident with your own doing your own makeup, then do your own makeup and come in for the photo shoot and just touch up. If you want to meet with me before and have me look at it, and we'll make a decision together. When I have young girls come in, I have them wear it really, really light, and then maybe I'll say add a little bit more mascara. But, you know, things have become so natural that over the last couple of years, I've progressed to almost never using a makeup artist. I never have anybody request makeup artists that often anymore. If I get somebody who's really uncomfortable and it's going to build their confidence and they really feel that it's necessary, I have a lot of great makeup artists that I work with and that I recommend, that I have a relationship with, and they know how I light and they know how I shoot, and I will bring them in for the person. But, you know, it's really kind of gotten away from the makeup and the...
And it's gone all natural. Come
yeah, exactly.
Go.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Baby, come as you are. It's that is what they want to see. Now, let's talk about something that I feel very strongly about. As with choosing any professional, whether you're choosing your doctor, your accountant, your business manager, your psychiatrist, you have to choose them based on, it doesn't matter if someone tells you this headshot photographer or this photographer is the best in town. He did Beyonce. He did blah, 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 Madonna. If you meet with this person, and say you can afford this person, and you meet with the person and the chemistry is not right, do not shoot with this photographer. You don't realize how important it is the day that you're getting your pictures to feel like you have a bonding and a chemistry with the photographer. Because if you feel uncomfortable, if you feel rushed, if you feel awkward, it is going to come across in your pictures, and I don't care how great of an actor you are. Let's talk about that, Carrie.
Well, when I photograph my clients, I don't know, I get into this kind of like a bubble, and my focus is completely on them. And I also talk to them about doing their homework and watching programs and looking at other actors so they really realistically get photos that look like them. And I believe that they should always do their homework. You don't need to go out and spend $1,000 on headshots to guarantee that you're going to get a great shot. And definitely if you're going out and you're getting somebody you know, out of the trays and you're paying $50 or $100 for headshots, they're probably not going to be with somebody who knows what you're doing. And don't go out and get your best friend that's taking photography classes at the you know, the college, but you've got to really work with somebody who knows what they're doing and they have experience, just like anything else. And don't do the quick job. You've got to, you know, there's a happy medium in between. Go to a photographer that's been doing it for, you know, professionally, as a regular profession, every day. I've been doing it for 27 years, so I know what I'm doing. And then that's going to give them the confidence to know that they're going to get good photos.
That's right. And again, you don't, just because someone has shot all celebrities and they do so many award-winning type events, doesn't mean that that person is right for you. And if you are lucky enough to get with a photographer that has been referred and recommended by everyone, and you don't feel comfortable, they seem kind of cocky, or they want to rush you, or they don't really seem interested in you, they want to get you in and get you out, that is going to come across in your headshots. And after you get them, you are not going to feel happy about it. So don't just get your shots from a person because everybody else got their headshots and they turned out great, because you just may not have that compatibility with the photographer. It's very important to like the person that's across from you taking pictures. And it's okay to say, you know what, I think I'm going to think about this a little bit longer, and get your ass out of there. You don't have to spend your hard-earned money.
There's
millions of photographers. Find somebody that you like. I don't see why, now I'm going to ask you about this, but I don't see why you can't, when you're thinking about spending $500 or whatever you're spending, I don't see why you can't ask for a consultation first to kind of see whether or not you like the photographer. Is that something that is acceptable?
Absolutely. If anybody ever feels that they want to meet with me first, I always offer the opportunity for them to come in and meet with me and talk to me so that they feel confident about having me do their photographs. But I've been doing this for 27 years, and I still, to this, from the first day that I started taking pictures till today, I love what I do, and I have such a great passion for it, and it's exciting for me to see the results of the photos of the people that I photograph, to look at that and go, God, this is great. I love this. And it's very rewarding to me to be able to give my clients and artists that I work with great photos. It's nice to go to bed at night and think about, God, that was a great shoot, or that was really an awesome person. And I have clients that believe that, I'm telling you, that I have photographed now their grandchildren. I have clients that have shot with me. How many times have I photographed you? People that have been coming back to me for 10, 15, 20 years. And it is really a nice compliment to me to have these people come back to me, that they feel confident that I'm going to give them the product that they're looking for to continue to have a successful career.
Well, of course, because but along with the celebrities, how many of your clients have gone on to do commercial shoots? I mean, your clients have been in everything. McDonald's, Toys R Us, Gatorade, Budweiser, Miller, Mattel. And these are the pictures that are going to get you in. You do need the talent, of course, but headshots are half your battle. So,
well, yeah, and it's you know, you can be a great actor, and if you don't have a great headshot, that's not going to get you in the interview to have the opportunity to show the casting director what your ability is. I've photographed the first headshots at Ellen DeGeneres. I've photographed Lou Gossett after he won the Academy Award. I don't really sell myself on the celebrities that I photograph.
Don't forget David Hasselhoff, my favorite.
Yeah, I know, David Hasselhoff with his shirt off.
Let's talk about William Shatner. Didn't you just do a party for...
I did a Hollywood charity event, Hollywood Horse Show charity event. I did a work with William Shatner, and Sheryl Crow was a guest singer there. I actually had a chance to photograph her. And it's funny, over the years, there's people that I have worked with as when I was an actress, because I did a role on T.J. Hooker, Sweet 16 and Dead. And then years later, I actually had the opportunity to photograph him. So it's kind of, I've kind of evolved around these people, and they come back into my life, which is really exciting and to go through that.
It is, because you started out as an actress in the 80s, and you were in one of my favorite movies of all time, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. You were the hot little blonde that went between the two guys when they were discussing the girl.
Absolutely, right? Yes.
Yeah, and you were in Happy Days and Charlie's Angels, and of course T.J. Hooker, and oh my gosh! And then what else did you do? You were telling me the best stories.
It's funny because when I was working on Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and I was on the set for about a week, and I had just one little line. You know, I had a part where I walked through the guys in the at the party, but they had you on the set, and this was the first. One of the very first female directors, I think her name is Amy Heckerling, and it was the first woman director, and it was, very important. And I was hanging out on the set and waiting, if they're going to do a pickup shot. And Sean Penn was in his trailer, and I walked by, and he was pretty wild, and he showed me a Playboy centerfold, a photograph of a nude girl, and he goes, check this out. And of course I told him to, F this and that, and walked away.
Wow.
And then, because he was kind of obnoxious, and I was young, he was young, we were all kind of having a great time on the movie. And then years later, he gets an Academy Award, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I told this guy where to go. But yeah, I mean, it's I have a lot of great stories. It's been, very rewarding for me. It's exciting to talk about it.
And from being an actor, you really have an inside perspective of what the actor really wants to achieve in a headshot, because sometimes actors say, oh, I wish I would have this. That wasn't really my best angle. This is my best angle. And you know that a little bit from being an actor. You do have a good sound.
Absolutely. I think, over the years of being on both sides of the camera, I think it humbles you a little bit. And there's so much of my experiences from being on both sides of the camera that I wish that I could, that I like to share with my clients that I photograph. And that's that they have to just be who they are and not sit and try to psychoanalyze them and try to second guess. I mean, I remember going and reading for commercials and reading for films and then coming home and going, should I read it like this? Should I have done this? Should my hair, in a ponytail? Should I have said this? And you go through all these head trips. And you have to just say, this is who I am, and this is what I'm going to do. And I used to always have a joke, go on my interview and then go to the grocery store and forget about it. Don't try to figure it out, because there's always a place for everybody. And if you don't get the part this time, you're going to get the next one. I always try to support them.
One of this photographer a long time ago, I can't remember his name now, but I know that he was introduced to me as the photographer who shot Madonna for the Like a Virgin cover. And I was lucky enough for him to take he had a roll of film, and I think, I don't know what it's called, clips left. He had a couple little things. He had three pictures left. Couple frames, thank you.
Right.
Had a couple frames left. He wanted to get rid of it. He ended up taking some pictures of me. I now have – this guy nailed – he did me and my two girlfriends one shot, and he nailed this picture of me that I now have a 24x36 blown up on my wall. But it's just a phenomenal picture. However, one thing I remember him saying is that try to look – because I told him, I said, I think I'm going to pursue acting. I'm going to be moving to California. He said, well, when you get your headshots, try to look as close to you do when you go in an audition as you do in that headshot. If you still have the same shirt, wear the same shirt. If your hair is in a ponytail, wear it in a ponytail. Whatever you look like, try to look as much like that headshots, because they will remember you from that. Do you think that that is true?
Absolutely, because the casting directors see so many people, and when they get a stack, you know, a foot high of people that are pursuing that role, you know, they always say that, you know, casting directors don't have a lot of imagination. And so what they have to do is you're going to look exactly like that photo that they have in their pile on their desk, and they're going to go, oh yeah, I remember her. So you always want to make sure that you look exactly like the person that is in the photograph, and don't try to, you know, poof it up or look a little bit better than you did. Be realistic about that.
That's right.
I actually agree. And you know, the other thing is about the other thing about identifying a good photographer. A good photographer can get a good shot right out the gate. When I used to shoot film, I used to say to my client, number 33 is the shot. And they'd say, how do you know? And I say, I know. You just that you're getting the photograph. And when there was one charity event that I did with Actors and Others for Animals, and I photographed Peter Falk, and I got one photo on him, one photo, and it was perfect, and I'd have it on the wall. And the thing is that if they really know, that's what makes a good photographer. They can get the shot from two or three frames. They just get it. And
absolutely. And I just want to follow up what we were just talking about. If you go in and you look exactly or very similar to your headshot, and you get a callback, when you go to that callback, wear the same outfit. I know that sounds crazy.
Absolutely. That's the rule of thumb. Wear the same thing and look exactly the same, because that's going to leave another imprint in their mind of you being there before, and that's going to impress them that you're that professional, that you're going to copy exactly what you did on the original interview.
That's
very
right.
Important.
A lot of girls go, well, I don't want to do that. And then they think that I'm wearing the same clothes. I don't have any clothes. Well, you know what? That's stupid. So shut up already and just do what you're supposed to do. Wear the same thing. Look exactly the way you looked in the picture if you can. Absolutely. Now, we only have a couple minutes, so I want to talk about the other services that you offer. I mean, you do all types. You do headshots. You do weddings. You do
I do headshots, I do special events, I do charities, I do weddings, I do publicity. I pretty much do anything that has to do with it. I do macro photography of insects and butterflies. I do a lot of photography of animals. I constantly photograph my poor daughters. I have like 50 photo albums filled with pictures of my two girls that love you so much. And
thank you. Do you do commercial shots like of food and, you know,
jewelry?
Is that called commercial? A still photography?
It's product photography. Yeah.
You do that as well?
I've done that, yes. Everything.
Wow. I might have to
architectural photography, buildings.
Wow.
Wow,
I might have to hire you for my client to get out their menu. One of my website clients, their menu is the food looks so bad on that menu. I said, oh my God, I can't put these pictures on the website. I refuse. So I went and got pictures professional and put them on there. And they said, that's not my food. I said, I can't put those pictures on there.
I absolutely agree. I was looking at a coupon ad yesterday, and the food product pictures were so terrible. I said, I'm not going to go to that restaurant.
They don't realize that businesses, hey, people out here who own restaurants, or if your family owns them, make sure the pictures look good.
Make sure that you look at it when you're hungry.
Yeah. And lastly, to finish this up, you also have a petting zoo, which I hired you for at my film fundraiser in May, and it was a huge success. You brought all these really cool animals, and the kids loved them. Tell me about that.
Well, actually, it's called Pet Adventure Parties. It's petadventureparties.com. And what I do is I have different kinds of reptiles, mostly, you know, reptiles, different exotic animals. And what I do is I bring them to either birthday parties or special events. I'm actually working with retirement homes and people with special abilities, and doing an event tomorrow morning, and teach kids about animals, their environment, where they come from, whether they're marsupials goals, what they eat, and it's also a very educational, plus it's a hands-on type therapy for people from different types of groups. And it's, you know, so that's how I kind of fulfilled my dream of being a veterinarian or working in a zoo. So, and what I do is when I do these events is that when I do the birthday parties, the special events, at the end, I actually photograph the birthday person or the special person with the animals, and then I give them a CD of their child or the person in the party with holding the animals, because every time a child goes to a pet store, they want to touch everything, and when they go to the zoo, they don't want to leave and they want to jump in there with the lions. So
right.
I try to give them that opportunity of having a memory and photographs of their experience with the animals that I bring to their event. So,
well, yeah. I know you do that because every event you come to a mine, you bring that wonderful camera, and I think, oh my God, I know I'm going to get some great pictures. I said,
I can't go anywhere without my camera. It goes everywhere with me. It's like it's my third arm.
Well, aren't I lucky to have a friend who's a wonderful photographer? I tell you, I cannot tell you how many people emailed me after you shot my film fundraiser, and they said, my God, those pictures, they look professional. I said, of course they're professional. She's a professional photographer. They just thought you were some nut walking around taking pictures. They didn't know. They're like, why is that woman taking pictures of me? She's a photographer. Well, I sure hope that you get lots of calls. We got to end the show. I want to thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It was so fun. Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Again, check out her websites, Cavalier Photography, CavalierPhotography.com. And give me the other one. What's it? Petting Zoo?
Oh, PetAdventureParties.com.
PetAdventureParties.com. And I'm sure you have that link on your Cavalier Photography website.
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yay. Thank you, Carrie Cavalier, for
coming.
Okay,
love you. Love you.
Thank you. We're going to bring you back on next year. We're going to talk about those horrible mortgage people.
Yes.
Look for Carrie Cavalier to come on in January or February, and she's going to be sharing some stories with you about the mortgage business, and she's going to be passionate and heated up. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Carrie. And we'll
Thank you.
See you next week on Question Reality. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.